Our reading this evening is in the 23rd Psalm, again, Psalm 23. We're continuing this new series in the 23rd Psalm. And so I'm just going to read that Psalm alone this evening. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May God bless these precious words to our souls this evening. Let's pray together. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are familiar with all of our ways and with all of our circumstances in life. You know the particulars of all that we have done, all that we have experienced, all that we have struggled with, even in this week gone by. And you are therefore so meticulously aware of all that we need in our lives this evening. And we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who delights to give his children precisely what we need, that we might go forward in our lives in a way that brings you glory. And so we pray at this time that you would minister to each and every one of us by the preaching of your word. We pray, O Lord, that you would truly reveal yourself afresh to us in our minds. We pray that you would bless our hearts and our souls by the work of your Spirit and through your word. We pray that you would nourish us on your truth, that we might be strengthened, that we might be equipped and able to glorify you, to magnify you with our daily lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the many very solemn and very tragic things about being a person who has been born into total depravity, which is every single one of us, is the fact that we are not only dead in sin when we first come into this world, but we are also never able to truly satisfy the deepest longings of the soul in and of ourselves. No matter how hard we try, no matter where we look for that satisfaction. In other words, the greatest problem for the human race in every single generation is not the fact that nobody is hungering or thirsting after anything. The biggest problem is that fallen human beings are constantly looking to fulfill that hunger and to quench that thirst with things that cannot possibly fill the void in our souls. And of course, this is why you can have a man like Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones, a man who in the world's eyes, has surely got everything, money, fame, power, every material thing available at the click of his fingers. And yet he surely summed up the truth of both his own predicament and man's predicament in general terms so well, did he not, when he sang those famous words back in the 1960s, "I can't get no satisfaction." In many ways, it's like a mantra that could float above and be sung by the whole of a fallen humanity. And we see the same thing being played out again and again in our world today as we hear about yet another film star or musician who apparently had absolutely everything in this world's terms, and yet in the final analysis, so empty was their life, so unfulfilled did they feel, so dissatisfied with their lot, that they ended up in rehab or in the grave through addiction or suicide. There is, in other words, this desperate need which every man and every woman has in the deepest depths of the soul to be satisfied in the ultimate sense of what that means by the only one who can satisfy, and that is God in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, this is really the great subject of verse 2 in this glorious psalm that we're studying together this evening. Here is King David describing Yahweh, his God, as the great shepherd of his sheep, the people of God. He's just begun by saying that because the Lord is his shepherd, he therefore has everything he needs in this lifetime. "I shall not want," he says. And so now in verse 2, it's as if having made that bold statement, he now goes on to describe for us with such a vivid illustration or picture what it is that this shepherd actually does in order to satisfy the deepest and most desperate longings of his sheep. First of all, we're told here of the shepherd who nourishes his sheep with the good food of his word. And secondly, we're told of the shepherd who refreshes and gives rest to the soul by the renewing work of the Holy Spirit. First of all, he says of this good shepherd, the ultimate fulfillment of which, remember, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he is the one who said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." He says of this good shepherd, who we now know as our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Probably a more literal translation would be to say, "In pastures of fresh grass, he makes me lie." Now, apparently, according to the late Reverend Douglas Macmillan, who was himself once a shepherd of sheep, one of the most difficult things for a shepherd to do is to get the sheep to lie down. He said they simply do not like to do this. First of all, if there is a sudden noise, which there often is out there in the countryside, sheep will immediately be up on their feet. They'll be anxious to see what's going on. Other times it's because there is maybe a nuisance sheep within the flock, a kind of loud sheep, a bully sheep that makes it impossible for the other sheep to lie down. Take note. Don't be a nuisance sheep. Sometimes it's because the sheep are annoyed by flies or other insects. They're just kind of irritated. Therefore, they're unable to settle down, to lie down. Other times it can be because they are simply hungry. A hungry sheep will never, ever lie down. And so there's all these different forces at work, all these things which mean for the for the most part, a sheep is unable or unwilling to lie down. And of course, David would have surely known about these things from his own experience as a shepherd in days gone by. And yet here he is in the 23rd Psalm, speaking of himself as a sheep of God's flock, and he describes himself as being made to lie down by the one who is the good shepherd. In other words, he's describing an unlikely thing here, a difficult thing, a thing which only this shepherd is able to do. Now the question is, how then is he able to do this? What is it that this shepherd does for his sheep that makes them lie down? And of course, the answer to that question lies in the mention of these green pastures or this fresh grass. What is being pictured here is a sheep that is lying down because he is absolutely satisfied and contented in his being. And the reason he is so satisfied is that his shepherd has made it possible for him to feed upon not just any old grass, but grass which is fresh and clean and full of sap and nourishment. And that is the reason that he's able to lie down. The picture, if I can put it like this, is of a sheep with a great big smile on its face. He is deeply satisfied with the feeding that he's been given by his shepherd. Now, how then does that equate to our own lives and to our own walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, clearly the inference here is that just as the sheep is this fulfilled, this contented, having fed on this lush grass of a green meadow, so in the same way, God's people are likewise satisfied in the depths of our souls only when we feed upon the pure food of His holy word. It has exactly the same effect. So that just as the green pastures or the fresh grass is food which is alive, it is not dead, so too the Word of God is living and active. Just as fresh grass contains nutrients and goodness for the body of the sheep, so in the same way the Word of God is full of spiritual truth, which is nourishment to the souls of those who believe. And so just as this fresh grass is able to bring such physical contentment to the sheep that it actually causes them to lay down on the ground, so in the same way, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the one thing that brings true fulfillment and contentment to the souls of God's people. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 14, God makes this promise concerning His people. He says, I will feed them in good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. And then what did Jesus say later on, in, again in John chapter 10? Remember, this is right after Jesus had described himself as the good shepherd. He says in John chapter 10, verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." In other words, to know Jesus Christ as our good shepherd is to belong to one who loves to provide good food for his sheep. He loves to nourish and to strengthen and to satisfy the souls of his people through this nutritious and solid diet of his holy word. Listen to Ralph Robinson from the 17th century. He said this. He said, "Here," meaning here in God's word, in the Bible, "here are many pastures, and every pasture rich, so that it can never be eaten bare. The sheep have been eating in these pastures ever since Christ had a church on earth, and yet they are as full of grass as ever, and they will so continue till the sheep are above the use of them in heaven." Isn't that a wonderful picture of God's word and what he does with that word in the souls of those who believe? Here, he says, are many pastures, and yet the pastures have never become bare, and they will remain until we have no more use of them, because we will be face to face in the glory of his kingdom. Now, clearly, as Christian men and Christian women, we're not just to be well fed by God so that we can simply lay down, so that we can become spiritually fat, as it were, or all clogged up. And what David then goes on to say in this verse is very much a reminder to us that we not only need to be nourished in the Word of God, but we also need to be refreshed and guided by the work and the leading of God the Holy Spirit, who is the one who then applies that Word to our lives. He says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Again, a more literal translation would probably say here, beside waters of rest, or beside waters of quiet, he guides me. He guides me beside waters of rest. Now, there's several little pieces in this metaphor that we just need to pick apart and hone in on together. First of all, notice that he's no longer speaking here about being made to lie down. Instead, he's speaking about the shepherd leading his life. He leads me beside still waters, or beside waters of rest, he guides me. That's the first thing. The second thing we know from the scriptures is that water is often mentioned in the Bible as a symbol for the Holy Spirit. God promised Israel in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land, and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." And so we have then both the picture of the sheep which is led or guided, and we have this imagery of water, both of which are pointing us to the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. But then there's two other things to notice about this particular water, which actually speak to us of the Lord's work in our individual lives. First of all, it's very interesting that David was writing this psalm in a context where there was hardly any water at all. Israel was a place that basically got rain twice a year in what was known as the early rain and then the latter rain. And so again, just as that picture of a sheep being made to lay down is an unusual thing for a shepherd to be able to do, so in the same way, water itself was something, in a sense, out of the ordinary. It was, we might say, a precious commodity. The second thing about this water is that it's described as the still waters, the waters of rest. Now, this is important because whereas on the one hand, sheep have to drink water in order to survive, in order to remain hydrated, just like we do, at the same time, apparently it's the case that a sheep will never drink from a fast-flowing stream. A moving river always spells danger. It is a threatening thing in the mind, in the eyes of the sheep. Again, Douglas Macmillan tells the story of this one day when he had to drive a large bunch of sheep for about 3 miles. And he says that it was such a hot day that when they arrived at their destination, the sheep were so thirsty, their tongues were literally hanging out of their mouths. What happened was the first bit of water that they came to was this fast-flowing stream with many ripples and so on. And he said not a single sheep would drink from that stream, no matter how dehydrated they were. But then about half a mile or so further on, they came to this very broad ford where the water hardly moved at all. And he says at that water, every sheep stopped to have a right good drink. The point is that just as the shepherd of sheep knows how frightening, how dangerous a fast-flowing river can appear to his sheep, so in the same way, the Lord our God is careful to lead his people gently away from that which is a danger to the soul and towards that which is for our spiritual good. That just as that still water in a dry and desert land would be hydrating and reinvigorating to the life of the sheep, so in the same way, God's Holy Spirit is the one who renews our minds and refreshes the souls of all who believe the gospel. Yet just as the picture here is of a sheep being guided and led to a place where there's not stormy or tumultuous waters, but waters of rest. So in the same way, the Holy Spirit is the one who indwells the life of the believer and gives peace and rest to our consciences. Just as water is something that cleanses, so the Spirit is the one who applies the work of the Lord Jesus Christ so as to wash away our sins. Listen to Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said, "Still waters run deep. Nothing more noisy than an empty drum. That silence is golden in which the Holy Spirit meets with the souls of his saints. Not to raging waves of strife, but to peaceful streams of holy love does the Spirit of God conduct the chosen sheep. He is a dove, not an eagle. He is the dew, not the hurricane. Our Lord leads us beside these still waters. We could not go there by ourselves. Therefore, it is said, He leadeth me. Friends, do you see that this is the picture of a man not only satisfied and contented in the gospel of grace because he is nourished through the provision of this good food, but one who is being led by a gentle and a caring shepherd who gives rest to our very souls. Jesus said, Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Maybe you're here tonight and you do believe the gospel, you are a Christian. But the truth is, it's been some time since you've known this level of delight and contentment and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, there's many reasons why this can be the case. Sometimes the truth is that life just kind of takes us over. We experience a prolonged period of physical or mental illness, a time of great trial in the workplace, a period of particular sadness in our families. And so we feel, don't we, this degree of emptiness rather than contentment. We feel this sense of spiritual dryness instead of refreshing renewal. Sometimes it's because in our sin, we're simply going along with the patterns of this world. We're looking for contentment and peace and satisfaction in all the wrong places. Yeah, we still believe and we still want to identify ourselves with the things of Jesus Christ, but we want a foot in both camps, as it were. We have, in a sense, a divided soul. And just on that note, it's very interesting. If anyone could have been tempted to look for his satisfaction in the things of this world, it was surely the man who wrote this very psalm. You just think about it. We don't know exactly when this particular psalm was written, but it's most likely to have been in the latter years of David's life. In other words, after he'd had the opportunity of experiencing all the good things that this world has to offer. He was the king of Israel. He could have had nearly anything he wanted. And yet it's as if in those latter years of life, he looked back, he surveyed all the days that had gone before, and he said, there's only one who fulfills the deepest longings of my heart. There is just one who satisfies the desperate needs of my soul, and he is the good shepherd, the Lord Yahweh, my God. So what I want to end this evening by saying to you is this. This good shepherd is not an intellectual theory. He is a personal Lord and God who loves his sheep. And this personal Lord and God, it is his delight to not only rescue his sheep, to bring his sheep into the fold of his care, but to then nourish his sheep in the doctrines of his grace, and to refresh and to give rest to our souls by the ongoing leading and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, friends, if that is truly his delight, If that is the desire, if that is the joy, that is the delight of the Lord who is our good shepherd, which it is. And not to in any way minimize those struggles and those battles that we all face in different ways in this lifetime. But if this is his delight, then surely the only thing that is left open to question in this whole equation is our own desire. Where is our desire this evening? Is it for this true and deep satisfaction of the soul, which is only found and indeed freely and bountifully offered in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd? Or is it for something else, the fleeting shadows of this life? Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Isaiah 55, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Friends, how foolish we can so often be, can we not, in the course of our lives? I mean, it's one thing to have not had our eyes opened at all and to choose and chase after the empty things of this world. But to have had our eyes opened to the truth, to know all that is available to us in the person of Jesus Christ and his word, and yet to so often delight in that which is so much less. And so may God this evening grant to each one of us the grace that we might be those who truly hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ and his righteousness in the days that lie before us. Let us be those who are seeking the pure, the rich food of his gospel in our souls, not those who are running on empty, as it were, but those who are so nourished by his word and refreshed by the renewing work of the Holy Spirit, that we really are those sheep who are truly satisfied and at peace in the deepest depths of our being. Isn't it an amazing thing to think of this Christ we were considering this morning? The Christ who created all things out of nothing, who has purchased our redemption in his life, death, and resurrection. To think of him this evening, here we are gathered as his sheep, as his flock in this place. The Good Shepherd is at the right hand of God in majesty on high, in the kingdom, in the place that he is preparing for us and for all who believe. And to think that this Christ wants this for us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? What a kind and good shepherd he really is. To him be the praise and all the glory. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we are so conscious that just as we so desperately need food for our bodies, that we might be nourished and strong rather than weak and empty, how much greater is our need for the food of your word. And yet how often, O Lord, we deny ourselves this richest of fare, because we are absent-minded, we are lacking in discipline, and we delight in other things. How often, O Lord, we confess we are people who, instead of welcoming and yielding to that leading and guiding work of your Holy Spirit, we instead quench the Spirit. And so we pray this evening that you would forgive us for the neglect that we are guilty of in our lives. And we pray, O Lord, that you would truly seal this word this evening to our hearts and to our minds, that we might understand and act upon this reality of just how good and precious is your word, that living word, how necessary it is in our lives that we might live unto righteousness and in a manner which is pleasing before you. We pray, O Lord, for the ongoing work of your Spirit, that you would indeed continue to refresh the souls of this people through the mercy and the extravagance of your gospel of grace. And we pray, O Lord, that as we are refreshed and as we are fed, that we might be those who are looking to pass on that blessing to those around us, those in our families, those in our streets, those in our town. We pray, our Father in heaven, for the work of your church throughout the world this evening. We remember especially your persecuted people overseas, those who are being threatened in the most terrible of ways. We ask, O Lord, that you would continue to feed them by your word, that you would lead them by your Spirit, that you would vindicate them in the context of such evil. We pray, O Lord, that you would be pleased to soften the hearts of those who would do violence to your sheep. We pray, O Lord, that you would be pleased to turn the hearts of those wolves, O Lord, who cause such destruction and do such harm to the sheep of your pasture. We pray, O Lord, for all who preach and teach your word throughout the world. We pray that you would guard hearts and minds, that you would enable each one to remain far away from error and from falsehood. We pray for the power and the work of your Holy Spirit, that that word would be preached boldly and faithfully. And we pray for the opening of blind eyes as it is. We pray, our Father, for our own nation. We pray for our politicians, for our Prime Minister, for our First Minister, for the royal family. And we pray, O Lord, for Christian men and women who have the opportunity to speak your truth into their lives. We pray, O Lord, that even now you would be pleased to grant the grace of repentance to our political leaders. We pray that you would give them wisdom from on high. We pray, O Lord, that they would be brought to fear God and keep his commandments. We pray for a reversal of all the trends that we see in our society in these days, the contempt that man has for your moral law. We pray, O Lord, for an awakening throughout our land and indeed throughout the world, and particularly in the West, O Lord, where there has been such a steady turning away for so many years. We pray, O Lord, that you would reverse that tide through the preaching of your word. O Lord, that men and women would be brought to their knees in the realization that Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. O Lord our God, we thank you that you are the one who has brought us by your grace to this true understanding of the world around us. We thank you for the way in which you have enabled us to feed on the gospel of good news. We thank you for the way in which you have granted to us your Holy Spirit, so that even now this evening we can know that peace which surpasses all human understanding, the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God who in Jesus Christ and by his cross is for us. O Lord our God, may we go out into the world this week with these precious thoughts and this treasure at the forefront of our minds, that we might rejoice in the Lord all the days of our lives. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.